Now, Wisconsin is home to skate parks all over the state. Most of these parks are free and open to the public, drawing newbies and veteran skaters to hone their skills and try out new tricks. A Wisconsin economics professor noticed the impact skate parks were having on local communities. As a longtime skateboarder himself, he decided to study the economic effects of these parks. And he found that skate parks are not only an economic asset, but that they serve as important community hubs. Thomas Kemp is chair and professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire. He recently talked with Rob Ferret.
You are an economist now, Tom, but you've been a skater for a lot longer. Share your skateboarding origin story, please.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the Milwaukee area, picked up actually all my little local friends. We all picked up skateboards when we were, in our early teens or tweens, even, I guess. I was 12, and that's 40 years ago now, and really been pretty much skating ever since then. So, yeah, it's been a good activity for me.
Now, did young Thomas Kemp have a skate park nearby?
Well, no, there were no skate parks anywhere near me until the Turf Skate Park reopened, I want to say in 1987. But even that was a long way for, a 15-year-old at the time. I lived a good 30 minutes drive from there. So we got there as often as possible. But yeah, skate parks were very, very few and far in between back in those days.
As an economist, when did it first occur to you that, hey, this thing you've been doing your whole life would be a worthy object of study?
Yeah, that's kind of a funny story. It was about 5 years ago. A friend of mine, of course, who knows that I'm an economist, handed me a book by a guy named Ian Borden, who's also a professor. And he said, hey, you got to read this. And it was a extremely well done work, citations, the whole thing. And I said, oh my gosh, I can write about skateboarding and it can be like a serious academic endeavor. And that was it. I've been doing that ever since then. It was really a life-changing event.
Now, you've written that skateboarding used to be thought of as a fringe activity, something that the hooligans did, but it's seen a boost in popularity in recent years. What do we know about who is skateboarding now and the numbers involved in the hobby?
Yeah, the numbers are somewhere between 8 and 10 million within the United States, and then about a similar number in the rest of the world. So maybe as many as 20 million worldwide. But the numbers are really very hard to figure because there's people who maybe bought a skateboard and ride it once a year, and then there's people who ride, every day. So, and the demographics have changed quite a bit. Skateboarding in 2025 looks a lot more like the United States does in general. So it's not just, teenagers, it's very young children. I also involved with teaching lessons here in the Eau Claire area. We have kids as young as 3, 4, and 5 quite commonly. And then there's folks, who are well into their 50s and even 60s that are still skateboarding on a regular basis. So it's much more diverse than certainly it was when I started.
And skateboards, I understand there are skateboarders there, of course, at skate parks, but there are other uses as well, other kinds of recreation. What kind of things are happening in these spaces?
Right. So skate parks, the name, they're called skate parks. But of course, if you pop down to your local skate park, you're going to see people on skateboards, of course, but you're also going to see people on roller skates, both inline and conventional. And you can see kids on, little kick scooters. You might even see some folks with, in wheelchairs. It's amazing to me, absolutely incredible. But I've seen it on a few occasions, and of course, then bikes as well too. So you see quite a wide variety of users in these places, and that's a great thing.
We invited people to share their local skate parks. Patrick in Madison emailed, says he's a spokes dude for the skate park there. It opened in 2015, and he writes, when the park opened, it was one of the best skate parks in the Midwest. Folks traveled from long distances to check it out. Today, it remains the second most used amenity in the Madison Park system behind the Goodman Pool. He goes on to mention, though, he doesn't have hard numbers on the economic impact. And that takes us to your research, Tom. How do you start to try to figure out the economic impact of a skate park?
So there's a few different impacts from the skate parks. First, you mentioned people traveling, and people certainly do travel to the Madison skate park. I have done so myself many times and will do so again in the next week or so. of course, when people go to these parks, then they also, you know, they purchase food in the local restaurants. Sometimes there's hotel stays involved, and sometimes there's equipment that gets purchased. And of course, these are also part of the economic impact of these skate parks. What we're really trying to understand right now is how these skate parks become positive community spaces. Sort of what are the factors that cause that to happen, or you know, in some cases, unfortunately, not to happen. And so we're finding that well-constructed skate parks end up having these sort of broader community effects in the sense that they make the park more enjoyable, approachable, and even used by a broad base of users. So people who aren't skateboarders per se, but they, you know, they might just be somebody who likes to walk the dog there. And now because there's always skateboarders in the park has a population to it. And so it feels safer rather than, you know, sort of being a vacant space where very few users are. And that's just one of the ways in which well-constructed skate parks can contribute to broader community benefits as well, just sort of the intangible economics of them.
Now, your case study that you published on took you to exotic Iowa. You were in Des Moines looking at the Lauritsen yeah. Skate Park. What other kind of lessons did you take away from that?
Yeah, so with big skate parks like that are destination tourism sites. That's what I think we proved pretty conclusively. In that, so we spent 6 days surveying people in the Des Moines skate park, so actual parks users. And about 1 in 5 of those users was traveling from a significant a ways away. So outside of the Des Moines metro area, with people coming from as far as Florida and Arizona, Texas, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to go to that skate park. Now, I suspect that the Madison skate park, which we mentioned, probably isn't drawing quite as far and wide as that because it's not as large. But I'm quite sure, again, having done it myself, that it's drawing from maybe a lot further than people appreciate. And similarly, the newly reopened Turf skate park in Milwaukee, that park, I'm sure, is drawing from worldwide. So people are traveling from all over the world to use that park. So it's really they're really truly destination sites.
We're talking to Thomas Kemp, economics professor at UW-Eau Claire, about skateboarding and his research looking at the economic value of local skate parks. We also got an email from Mike and Judy. They're a big part of the group that started the Tosa Skate Park in Wauwatosa. It was built in 2015. They write, "The park provides a safe and accessible space for skateboarding, rollerblading, scootering, and BMX biking, fostering a sense of community and promoting healthy activities." Tom, there's that community again. How do we measure the intangibles of a skate park, like that community building and healthy activities?
Yeah, well, the Tosa folks have a great park there, and it's a great community. I've been to that park and ridden it a number of times, and what they're saying there is very consistent with what we've found. And how we're measuring that is we're actually surveying neighborhoods around these skate parks scattered across Wisconsin and Minnesota. We're asking them specifically about how do they feel about the skate park? Do they feel it's a safe place? You know, would they have their kids there, et cetera? And in that way, we're not really able to grab the quantitative benefits of the skate parks. In that way, we're more trying to figure out the qualitative benefits of it. And we're really trying to figure out what is it that makes for a skate park that maximizes those qualitative benefits in the community. They're not all the same, right? We wouldn't want to walk away from this with thinking that all skate parks are the same, and if I just build a skate park, I'm going to have these wonderful community benefits. They really have to be done right.
To wrap up, Tom, I want to give you a chance to evangelize about skating. Now, I figure if I started, we'd quickly have an economic case study in healthcare. But for other people who are less prone to breaking themselves, make the case for checking out skateboarding.
Yeah, I think there's actually a bunch of studies out there that show that skateboarding is a valid way to maintain one's health as a young adult, but even as one gets older. It's, you know, especially in these days where we have screens all the time and we're constantly being fed information from those screens, it's really a great way to get back in touch with your physical environment and your local community. You know, not everybody needs to go totally gung-ho. You know, skateboarding can be a relatively low-impact activity if it's practiced in an appropriate way. And so I'd really encourage folks, you know, if they, you know, maybe they had skateboarded when they were younger and they're thinking like, oh, like I need to do something to get healthy. You know, maybe this is a solution for them. Just get that old skateboard out and start by rolling down the driveway and then maybe roll down the street. And maybe after you get your confidence up, you head back over to the skate park a little bit and roll around a bit there. I think you're going to have a lot of fun if you do.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, no, thank you.
That is Tom Kemp, an economist who teaches at UW-Eau Claire. He talked with Rob Verrett about his new research into the economic and community value of local skate parks.